Hallelujah. Just repeat after me this morning. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your will. And we thank you for your manifested presence. Father, anoint this word as seed. Father, anoint the word of my heart. Father, anoint the sower. Hide her in the gift that you've given to your body so that we will receive a life-changing, destiny-accelerating revelation of you through your word, by your spirit, under your anointing. We pray expecting in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Give God a great big hand clap for praise. Amen. And you can be seated. Amen. Well, this is the day the Lord has made. Amen. And we choose to rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. I think Deacon Violet did a great job this morning with the announcements. Amen. And I have to tell you that we really do have just two more weeks. Just two more weeks. And so we've been elevating our expectations for the last several months, and we've been believing God to do the supernatural, and we've not been putting him in a box, and we've been believing God that he can all the way up to December 31st do what he didn't do the rest of the year. Amen. We're not holding him to do something specific. We're just asking him to break through in our lives. Amen. And we've been learning about what it means for us to break through, and we're going to continue along those lines again today. And I have to tell you, everyone, I just thank God and praise God for the entire team here at DWC that does an awesome, awesome job. From those who come early to help set up, and the worship team that comes super early, and just everyone that helps in all the different ways. Media has been doing an amazing job. And I just thank God and praise God for awesome men and women of God who love the Lord God and love God's people enough to count it serious. Amen. To be here and to be here on time to make sure that we are where we need to be. Amen. Well, I have to tell you, I'm excited also about Christmas Eve service, because I will not be doing it. Minister Roy will be doing Christmas Eve service. Amen. And so he'll be doing an awesome, fantastic job. I know you're going to be here, and I know you're going to tell your family, your friends to come. The Lord just really led me this time. For 25 years, Bishop and I never went out of town for Christmas. At 25 years, we never went out of town. And so this Christmas, we're going to actually have an opportunity, and we had to leave a day early to go out of town. And so our family will be out of town on Christmas. Amen. But I know y'all are going to show up in full effect. Amen. I know the word's going to be going forward. We have some surprises for you all along those lines for Christmas Eve. And so I'm super excited. And I'll be trying to stream. I'll be all the way across the other side of the world in Asia. Amen. Amen. So I'm believing God for the supernatural, but I'm going to be watching and praying. Amen. 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 Well, God is a good God, and I know you have your Bible, so let's open it up to 1 Chronicles 14.
Hallelujah.
Amen. 1 Chronicles 14. We've been talking about breakthrough. Man, I'm going to try to finish it today. I hope I can. But we're going to talk about breakthrough and the significance, again, of breaking through. Remember, I always get further along at 8 than I do at 11 o'clock. You all pull in different ways. And so we're able to kind of, you know, if you go to both services, you'll see that there's a little bit of difference. There's a different pull at 8 o'clock. Y'all are like the super, super fast class. Like, you know, I get further along. And then 11 o'clock, they're smart too, but it's like they pull a little harder, a little longer, and it's like more strategic and that kind of thing. So I'm excited, and I hope we can get a little further today. We're going to read this scripture. This is the breakthrough scripture. This is the breaker scripture where the Lord is called the breaker. It says, when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over all of Israel, they all went up in search of David, and he heard about it and went out against them. Now the Philistines had come and made a raid in the valley of Rephaim, and so David inquired of God, shall I go up against the Philistines, and will you hand them over to me? And then the Lord said to him, go up, and I will hand them over to you. So Israel came to Baal-perazim, and David defeated the Philistines there. Then David said, God has broken through my enemies by my hand like the breakthrough of waters. Therefore they named that place Baal-perazim, the Lord who breaks through. The Philistines abandoned their gods, their idols there, and so David gave a command, and they were burned in a fire as the law of Moses required. And the Philistines again made a raid in the valley. And so David inquired again of God, and God said to him, do not go up after them. Circle around behind them and come at them in the front of the balsam trees. And it shall be when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the balsam trees, then you shall go out to battle. For God has gone out before you to strike the Philistine army. So David did just as God had commanded him, and they struck down the army of the Philistines from Gibeon as far as Gezer. Then David's fame spread into all the lands, and the Lord caused all nations to fear him. You know, we talked about the significance of breakthrough, and in this scripture we see that the Bible says that David broke through, and we really put in a great emphasis on the fact that God breaks through with our hand. He uses our hand to break through, but it's his power that causes the breakthrough. And so we begin to talk about barriers to our breakthrough, because we all desire to break through, and God has promised breakthrough, and of course he needs our hand, but we've got to take our hand and remove some barriers from our lives so we can get the breakthrough that God desires for us to have. And so we set a declaration last week, and I want us to say it again. I want us to get it in our hearts, because we really are setting our faith to believe God for breakthrough in this season. Can I see those breakthrough sticks? You know, a couple weeks ago, this is East End West, a couple weeks ago, or last several weeks, I specifically I handed out these breakthrough sticks, and you wrote on them the emotional area that you wanted breakthrough in, and you wrote through a physical area like finances or health that you wanted to break through in. And so I've been praying over these on Wednesday, or not just Wednesday, I've been praying over them throughout the week, and also believing God just for breakthrough all the way through and into 2018. And so if you've not had an opportunity to write down on the stick what it is you believe in God for breakthrough in, we'll make sure that you get one before service is over, and then you will break it, pray over it, put half on the altar, and we'll put it in here, and we'll continue to pray. We actually had the servant leadership pray over them at our meeting on a Friday night, and we just there was the anointing of God really was present as we just kind of laid hands here on this jar, believing God for breakthrough. You know, when I saw this, I had somebody go this week and get this. Didn't it look like the little capsule when you go to the bank? And it was literally, when I saw it, I'm like, look at God. It's like you put something precious here, you know, and put it in my hands, and I'm just sending it up to God every single day. Amen. And I just saw it, I'm like, wow, that looks just like a little, what do you call those things? A little, I don't know, carrier, tubes that goes up. Yeah. Amen. Well, let's just declare this. Declare after me. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I declare that I will not miss this season of breakthrough. From this point forward, I declare and decree that natural, physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual barriers will no longer separate me from obtaining your promises in my life. I choose today to address and deal with those things that attempt to hinder the manifestation of your presence in my life. Today, I remove by faith those things that prevent access, activity, advancement, alliance, agreement, advisement, and alignment with you in my life. Lord, I receive your strength, your courage, your favor, your love, and your grace to make this happen in this season, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Seven barriers, discovering seven barriers to your breakthrough. We talked about the sound barrier. You remember the sound barrier. If you didn't get a chance, you weren't here last week, you can go online and take a look at it. I'll be sharing with you the website pretty soon. You'll be able to access the actual audio, the MP3 or MP4, whichever one they use, and you'll be able to download it right from there. We're actually doing podcasts as well, so you'll be able to download those things, and so just give us a few more days, and we'll have that all ready to go. But we talked about the sound barrier. We talked about the somatic barrier. I think we did that in here. Then we talked about the somatic barrier. All right. And so with the sound barrier, I'm not going to do a review, and I'm not going to do a review with the somatic barrier. We're going to do something different today, or we're going to go on a little further today than even than we did West. You know, we said that the somatic barrier really was a physical barrier, and we needed to break through that somatic or physical barrier because breaking through will actually cause us to be able to move beyond situations and systemic obstacles to exercise faith for breakthrough. And so this is some new part of that I didn't share. We have three ways that we can detect that there's a somatic barrier in our lives, three ways that we can detect if there's a somatic or physical barrier. We talked about that listening barrier, and we did go into somatic, but I didn't give you some ways to detect if you have a somatic barrier. And so there are three ways. Number one is turbulence. Say turbulence.
Turbulence.
Financial attacks.
Or setbacks.
And being lured to laziness. I need to hear you said, being lured to laziness. So somatic barriers create some spiritual turbulence that often involve people who knowingly or unknowingly oppose our relationship with the Lord. And they oftentimes try to attempt to frustrate us with their behavior. There's some turbulence that goes on. And the turbulence that goes on, I kind of call it noise. It's kind of like a noise. And there's always the spiritual opposition, I shared last week, to our calling, opposition to our friendships, opposition to the promise that God has in our lives, opposition to our deliverance, and opposition to our posterity. And I shared that last week. But going further, I want us to think about and look at the spiritual turbulence as it relates to a financial setback. Or a financial attack. Whenever the enemy is constantly and consistently attacking your money, constantly and consistently trying to somehow put a hole in your bag, you know, put a hole in the resources, drain your resources. This breaks, then that breaks, and then this happens, and then that happens, and it just seems like an unending attack of your finances. You have to know that there's a barrier there. There's a somatic barrier there. And remember, God breaks through with our hand. There's something that we need to do with our hand to remove the barrier so the breakthrough can take place. Remember, we break through by his power, but he uses our hand. So if I have a barrier, and that barrier is one such that, you know, the enemy is coming with this financial attack or financial setback, kind of comes like this. It's when you have like a consistent, not just a one or two time, but a consistently, you're not having adequate seed due to circumstances beyond your control. You can't control the fact that your furnace broke down, and then you got a hole in the wall, and then, you know, the next thing you know, your car's not starting. You can't, those are circumstances beyond your control. But we do know that if we apply ourselves and we go forward, believe in God, and we talked about five ways, and we give you those five ways again, because even though I'm going to talk about the different barriers, it's the same way we remove the barriers each time. This is how we use our hand. I'm going to give them to you right now. This is how we use our hand. And I know I'm in the middle of this one, but I have to give it to you so you know and understand that God always provides a way out. Amen?
Amen.
He always provides a way out. Five ways. We said through prayer. We said through declaring the word. We said through fasting. We said through sowing seed. And we said through obedience.
Amen.
Prayer, declaring the word, fasting, sowing seed, and obedience. Those are five ways. Five ways that breakthrough is initiated. And so here we are in a somatic situation where the enemy is attacking our finances, the enemy is attacking our money. We've got these financial attacks and the seemingly financial setbacks. How do we deal with those things? We deal with them with our hand, and we apply our hand to prayer,
Amen.
To declaring the word, Amen. To fasting, to sowing, seed, service, and submission. And to obedience. This is the way that we deal with that. Now, why is it important? I think it's so important because let's look at Matthew 19. It's important because we don't have to succumb to what the enemy would hope would be a negative thing with a setback financially. See, in the natural, we believe that money answers everything. But it doesn't.
That's right.
It absolutely doesn't.
That's right.
You know, it absolutely does not answer everything. But your faith does.
Yes, it does.
Your faith does answer everything. And so, yes, you need money to live. You need money to pay your bills. But what you need above all is you need faith.
That's right.
You need faith because faith can bring the money.
Right.
Right? Faith can bring the money. If I don't have faith, money's not going to come.
Amen.
And so you need faith. That's what you need. So I'm going to look at Matthew 19. I think about about the rich young ruler, you know, who had to surrender his seed because his money was his identity. He had to surrender his seed for breakthrough. He had to surrender his seed for breakthrough. He had to surrender his seed. So this is a man who had a lot, And God asked him to surrender his seed because it was his identity, and he got breakthrough. Matthew 19, 16 says, "When a man came to Jesus and said, 'Teacher, what good deed should I do to gain eternal life?' Jesus said to him, 'Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you want to enter into life, obey the commandments.' 'Which commandments?' the man asked. Jesus said, 'Never murder, never commit adultery, never steal, never give false testimony, honor your father and mother, love your neighbor as you love yourself.' The young man replied, 'I've obeyed all these commandments. What else do I need to do?' And Jesus said to him, 'If you want to be perfect, sell what you own. Give money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then follow me.' When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he owned a lot of property." Now, you think he wouldn't be sad. Did you hear what he went away sad because he owned a lot of property. Would you be sad if you owned a lot of property? No, he was sad because he had to make a decision at this point in time if he was going to receive the breakthrough in his life that he needed. So breakthrough is not necessarily always for people that are broken.
That's right.
Not always for people who are broken. Some people need breakthrough and they have what looks like everything that they need in life to succeed. But breakthrough is such that God will allow you to function in the freedom and in the faith that he desires you to function in so you can really go forward in the things of God. So this man here, he had to have the breakthrough necessary for his life to go from where it was to where God wanted it to be, which was probably hell, because it says that he was going to lose his soul if he didn't get in the position to sow the way God needed him for them to sow. But here he is in a position where he got breakthrough so that he did not have to live a life that was subject to hell. But instead, he could come and enter into the kingdom of God. Then I think about the widow, the widow's mite. She gave more powerfully because the Bible said she was received and her seed was received because of the circumstances that she was in. And so a lot of times we're in a situation where, you know, we may not have a lot, or we may not have enough to meet what we think is the need, or meet our obligations, or meet our budget, or meet our, you know, our financial strategies that we've set in place. But God is very simple. And I think about the widow and the widow's mite. Here she is in Luke 21 verses 1 through 4. If you have a chance to later read it, here's this woman. She gives two pennies. She gives two pennies. Other people give tons of money. And the Bible says, look, I count it more powerful. I count it more significant, the two pennies that she gave, because I know what she had. And I know what she didn't have. A lot of times, and she got her breakthrough. And a lot of times our breakthrough is not relegated to what we think is necessary. It's really what God is requiring. And so again, that's where the obedience comes in. Obedience comes in. How many times has God told you to sow a seed and you've been disobedient in sowing that seed, or the amount of seed he told you to sow, you're like, I don't think I want to sow that. I don't think I want to do that. Or I'll wait until this. Or I'll wait until that. When really your breakthrough is right on the other side of you taking your hand, putting your hand to it with your obedience, and then God bringing the breakthrough on the other side. We got to get to a place, remember, when we're going into 2018, that we're not going to allow ourselves to go into 2018 with the barriers that we have here in 2017. And so if there's a somatic barrier such that you are not willing to sow beyond what you think you have, I mean, many times, Bishop and I would sow beyond, way beyond. We're like, okay, you know what, Lord, okay, I know that we were going to take this trip. We know we're going to take this trip, but you know what? We're not going to take this trip this year. We did that for 25 years. 25 years. Some people can't do it for one. They got to take that trip every year. They got to go on that vacation every year. Can you imagine saying, okay, you know what? For 25 years, I'm not going to go to this place where I think I want to go. Instead, it's more important for me to let the Lord God use my hand to break through in this area so that the people of God can be blessed to be here and to do the things that God has for me to do so that he can be glorified in the process. Because really, it's all about glorifying God. It's really all about glorifying God. And so I look and I said, okay, here's this financial barrier. Then there's a lure of laziness barrier. This somatic barrier, it represents itself sometimes in the form of laziness. Remember, God wants to use your hand to break you through with his power, but there's a lure of laziness sometimes that kind of gets in our way. That's kind of like a barrier. Remember I was talking about those flowers on the table? You know, when you're sitting to eat and you're trying to talk to the person across from you, and it's frustrating because you've got this big old thing in your way and you need to move it out of your way. But we need to think of barriers that way in our lives, and when they're recognizable and they're right here in front of us, to simply push them out of the way, move them out of the way, so then we can go forward where God has for us to go forward. Well, laziness is one of those things. Sometimes we need to put laziness off to the side. We need to just say, you know what? It's not time to be lazy right now. It's not time to slow down right now. It's not time to be tired right now. I don't have time to be tired. I don't know about y'all. I don't have time to be tired. The Bible says that He will cause our strength to be as our days. That means every single day I can have strength to do what it is that God says for me to do. Period. My strength shall be as my days. So I don't have time to be tired. Now, doesn't mean I don't listen to my body, because your body will tell you, go and rest. Amen. And I will go and rest. You understand what I'm saying? But in my mind doesn't have time to be tired. I look at the lure of laziness. The lure of laziness is something that the enemy will sneak up on you with. It'll sneak up on you with. Lack of obeying, applying the word, breeds laziness and an inability to understand yourself. You want to know why in the world is it that I don't understand why God made me this way, or God wants me to do this, or God has this for me. It's real clear in James 1, you can write that down, 22 to 24. It says, don't fool yourself into thinking that you're a listener when you're anything but. Letting the word go in one ear and out the other. Act on what you hear. Those who hear and don't act are like those who glance in the mirror, walk away, and 2 minutes later have no idea who they are or what they look like. The quickest way for the enemy to mess with your self-esteem and who you are and understanding who you are on him is to take that barrier of laziness and put it right in front of you. You know what? I'm not going to really listen. I don't really have to come to church. I can watch on the web all the time. I don't have to submit myself to authority. I don't like that boss because they don't really know what they're talking about. They're not really godly, so they really can't teach me anything. When the Bible is very clear, you know, that Daniel is in a position where he learned from the king of Babylon. For 3 years, he was subject to learning all of these manners of sciences and English and foreign languages under an ungodly system. God allowed him to learn. God chose him and plucked him and picked him out of the choicest youth of where he was and put him in this system that was totally disgustingly corrupt and gross, but it had a lot of information that he needed to get. And God put him there because he knew that he could withstand the test of succumbing to the way that these people live. He knew that he would not get there and get lazy. But we have to know and understand. Now, wait a minute. Remember we talked about, and I got to fast forward, next year about us going into the land and being sustained in the land. Well, God's like, look, I got to tell you something. If you don't remove the lure and the obstacle and the barrier of laziness, remember, you'll get there and you'll determine that, you know what, I can't even sustain myself there. I can't even sustain myself there because I'm tired. I can't even sustain myself there because now you're looking at the giants are too big. I can't sustain myself there because laziness is creeping in. Laziness is creeping in. Remember, all we have to do is let God use our hand through what? Through obedience, through sowing seed, through our fasting, through our prayer, through our declaration of the word of God. That's all he's requiring of us. He's not asking us to go out there and physically fight a battle. He's not asking us to get out there and go and spend all the money you have and so that you're broke. He's not asking that. He's just really simply asking that you be obedient and use your hand in those ways so that he can bring the breakthrough. But we can't let laziness, the lure of laziness, break up, cause us to not have the breakthrough that we need. Laziness will prevent us from engaging our hand and breakthrough. Proverbs 6:6-11 says, you lazy fool. Look at an ant. Watch it closely. Let it teach you a thing or two. Nobody has to tell it what to do. See, laziness often presents itself, and I don't want anybody telling me what to do. See, we think that's being obstinate, and that's just being stubborn. No, that's also being lazy. That's being lazy. You know, I don't want them to tell me what to do. I already know. I don't really need you to tell me that. I've already studied that. I've already learned that. I've already, you know, someone's already shared that with me. I don't need to hear it again. He says, look. All summer, this ant stores up food as it harvests and it stockpiles provisions. How long are you going to laze around and do nothing? How long before you get out of bed, a nap here, a nap there, a day off here, a day off there? Sit back, take it easy, do what you know comes next. Just this, you can look forward to a dirt poor life. Poverty, your permanent house guest. So he says, look, I need you to understand something. You're frustrated because you're not making more money. There's a big old barrier of laziness right there. Why can't I make more money? Why didn't I get this promotion that I put in for? Because you're lazy. Because you're lazy. And I mean, everybody has to deal with it. Everybody has to deal with it, right? Everybody has to overcome it. I mean, I have to overcome it at times, you know, where it's like, dang, I really don't want to do this, or I really don't want to do that. Okay, hold on, I'm going to do it in a minute. And we think that procrastinating will get us there quicker.
Wow.
Well, if I can procrastinate, really, we think we're resting. I'm procrastinating. I'm resting for a minute. And the Lord's like, no, you're being lazy. Get up. Your strength will be as your days. If you get up and start moving forward, I'm going to give you the strength to do what you need to do. You don't have time to sit, and you don't have time to, you know, oh, you know, this woman travels around the world. She travels around the world. One minute she's in India. One minute she's in China. One minute travels around the world and is able to not only have an awesome marriage and an awesome husband and be the spiritual mom and godmother to so many children. You know, you wonder how in the world does she get all of these things done? She's not lazy. She's not lazy. There are many of you in here. You're not lazy either, but I'm sure you had to deal with laziness before. You shake it off. Shake it off. Got to move that barrier out of the way. And so laziness will prevent you from engaging your hand in breakthrough. Proverbs 15:19. I love these lazy scriptures, y'all. The path of lazy people is overgrown with briars, but the diligent walk down a smooth road. A smooth road. A smooth road. So if we're lazy, oh, I don't feel like doing that today. Oh, I think I'm going to do this today. Oh, it's like, look, you know how Bishop was about work. You know how he was about work. He didn't play when it comes to work. You have, as long as it is, as the sun is up and it's light outside, you work till it goes down, right? And so Bishop and I were like that in the same way, but in different aspects. And so I thought about the fact that the Bible says a diligent walk down a smooth road. But the path of the lazy, there's thistles and thorns and all kind of stuff. You made it difficult. The lazy you are, the more difficult you make it for yourself. Yeah, the more you say, I don't want to take that test. I don't want to go study for this. I don't want to go get that certification. I don't want to learn more than what I need to learn. Now you're going to make it more difficult for yourself, and then the enemy can easily breed jealousy or envy in you when you see somebody doing exactly what you want to do because you determined that you were going to be lazy.
Teach.
I know y'all got it, but I love the lazy scriptures. Proverbs 19:24. Some people dig a fork into the pie, but are too lazy to raise it up into their mouth.
Wow.
Says, you know what? You dig the fork into the pie, but it's like, dang, I don't feel like putting it into my mouth. How lazy is that? You go and make a whole meal. You get it right in front of you. You put your little handkerchief on, right? So you don't spill it on yourself. You get it all laid out, but you're just too lazy to just lift it up to your mouth. You're hungry. You're hungry, but you're too lazy to lift it up. Too lazy to lift it up. You got to move the barrier. Got to move the barrier. Amen?
Amen?
Our third barrier, the intellectual barrier. This is one I'm going to spend more time on today. The intellectual barrier. Breaking through the intellectual barrier requires one to move beyond knowledge. I talked a little bit about it last week. Apply wisdom and pursue understanding. Pursue understanding. Now, self-proclaimed, self-made, non-God-rooted knowledge is a barrier to breakthrough.
Amen.
Let me say it again. Self-proclaimed, self-made, non-God-rooted knowledge is a barrier to breakthrough. 2 Timothy 3. You got to turn to 2 Timothy 3. I'm going to look at verses 1 through 7. I'm going to read in the Amplified. Because we are in these days. It says in the last days. In the last days, it says, understand this, that in the last days, dangerous times of great stress and trouble will come. Difficult days that will be hard to bear. For people will be lovers of self, narcissistic, self-focused, lovers of money, impelled by greed, boastful, arrogant, revelers, partiers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, and profane. And they will be unloving, devoid of natural human affection, calloused and inhumane, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, devoid of self-control, intemperate and immoral, brutal, haters of good, traitors, reckless, conceited, lovers of sensual pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of outward godliness. He's talking about God's people.
Right.
It's like, oh my God, you would think he was talking about the world. He's like, no, this is a terrible time. This is a dangerous time will come where all of that will be locked up in someone who's trying to act godly on the outside. They don't hold on to the form of an outward godliness or religion, although they have denied its power, for their conduct nullifies their claim of faith. He says, look, we're in the last days now where you read all of these things about someone who's probably a believer because they're holding on to a form of godliness or religious type of thing that's going on, and they're denying the power, and their conduct shows you that they don't have any faith. They're void of faith because of what you've seen and how they've acted and behaved themselves. Avoid such people and keep far away from them. There's your answer. Some of y'all want an answer.
Come on,
y'all know what I'm talking about.
Come on, that's right.
Y'all want an answer? There it is right there. There it is right there. Real simple. This is how they act. There's a form of godliness. It looks godly on the outside, but this is what he says. Avoid such people, keep far away from them, for among them are those who worm their way into houses and captivate morally weak and spiritually dwarfed women, weighed down by the burden of their sins, easily swayed by various impulses, always learning and listening to anybody who will teach them, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. He's saying, look, let me tell you something. I knew this could be male or female, but he said, look, I need you to understand something. It's a dangerous time. We're in the last days, and we're in the last days such that there's a huge barrier here. You got religious people trying to act like they're like you and I. You got religious people that have this form of godliness. They pray, they might be singing, they might be praying in the spirit, the whole thing. But you see their character is locked up in what you see in this scripture. The Bible says not only don't have anything to do with them or hang around them, but it says very simply here, you need to know and understand that what they're functioning in is so dangerous, it is something that worms its way into the house of people that are weak. Taking advantage of people that are weak. And in taking advantage of people that are weak, it says, look, this type of behavior is one that causes those who are always learning and listening, they're attracted to this type of behavior. They're attracted because it's very pious and it looks like it's very proper and it looks like it's got all this form and it looks like it's got all of this structure to it and it looks like it's just so tight and together and God is there. But we see that the Bible is clear that the behavior outside of that is something totally different. And so we have to determine, understand that, you know what, there's some barriers in our life that we might be having some connections with, some fellowships with some people that are in this situation where we need to maybe just move that barrier out of the way. Because there's breakthrough that God wants to happen, but the Bible says bad company corrupts good character.
Yes, amen.
Bad company corrupts. I tell the kids all the time, I'm sorry, you can be around 20 people and 10 of them can be, you know, living holy, and 10 of them, or 9 of them, or you could be one of the 10, could be living holy, the other 10 could not be living holy. And I tell them, I said, this is real simple. If just one of them determines that's holy, goes awry, now there's more of them than you, you need to go. Because the Bible says bad company corrupts good character. I don't care how good your character is, you can't keep bad company. You just can't do it. You can't do it. You cannot think that you're so, because see, that's a barrier. You can't think that you're so big and bad, you know, I'm so holy, I'm going to win them over. They didn't listen once, they didn't listen twice, they listened 3 times. And who brings the increase? God. I don't bring the increase. I'm just supposed to share this information with you. You determine that it's wisdom to you, and you're going to apply it. And if you don't, then I'm going to keep moving. Bad company corrupts good morals. He says, look, I need you to understand, he who walks with the wise shall be wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. A companion of your friendship with somebody who rejects the wisdom of God, you will receive the same recompense that they will receive. It's real, real, real simple. So we don't have to be in that kind of, I'm not sure, I don't know. There's a barrier here, and the barrier that's here is, I'm lazy. I don't want to deal with it. I'd rather keep the friendship than be confrontational.
Wow.
When God is saying, no, it's about you and your soul It's about your relationship with me that's above your relationship with those people. So you need to make the decision that it's more important for me to move the barrier out of my life than it is for me to keep conversation, keep communication, keep fellowship with those who are in the position where God says very, very dangerous and to avoid. But we got to not be lazy. It's laziness. That's what it is. Man, I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to have to call that person up. I don't want to tell that person I can no longer talk to them. I don't want to call that person and say, hey, I can't hang out with you anymore. Better make the phone call. Move the barrier. You want breakthrough, right? You want breakthrough, right?
Yes.
Got to get the fools out your life.
Come on, teach
it. Right? You got to get the fools out your life. It's real simple. Real simple. Now, I'm not saying don't pray for the fools. You got to pray for them.
Right.
But they don't need to be all in your life.
That's right.
Right? They don't need to be all up in your life.
Come on.
And the Bible's clear, y'all. I didn't say it. That's what the word says. Proverbs 17:27. He who has knowledge restrains and is careful with his words, and a man of understanding and wisdom has a cool spirit, self-control, and an even temper. See, I think about the fact that, you know, here we are. This intellectual barrier that we need to remove. That's that barrier that says, you know, I can't get rid of those friends because, you know, I'm trying to win them over. I'm trying to win them to the Lord. I am trying to. Right? You haven't done it yet. So, let God do it. You do your part. Let God do his part, right? Okay? Intellectual barrier. Again, it's breaking through. It requires one to move beyond knowledge, apply wisdom, and pursue understanding. Actively acquire understanding. To actively acquire understanding. The Bible says the beginning of wisdom is this. Get skillful in godly wisdom. It's preeminent. With all your acquiring, get understanding. Actively speak spiritual discernment, mature comprehension, and logical interpretation. Actively. He says, look, it's a spiritual barrier. It's an intellectual barrier. I got to say this one. When there is an arrested development that hinders your spiritual growth and maturity, and God expects us to grow, right? He expects us to go from glory to glory. He expects us to go from faith to faith. And I got to tell you something, that one of the biggest things that is recognized in the body of Christ, and I said it many months ago when I talked about spiritual maturity and I talked about the toddlers and the infants and the babies. But you have to think about the fact that there's an intellectual barrier that's in the way when we determine that we're not going to put away childish things. Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13:11, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. But when I became a woman, I put away childish things. Now, this scripture is very dear to me because my great-grandmother at 13 was very clear with my sister and I on this. To her, you became, you know, says, when I became a man, I put away childish things. To her, 13 was that year. Okay, we spent our summers in Chicago. My mother's from Chicago. We spent our summers in Chicago. And so we spent with my grandmother, my grandfather, my great-grandparents. And so my great-grandmother and my grandmother would tell my sister all the time, she said, no, it's time to put away childish things. I was about 12 and a half. I was like, what is she talking about? I mean, you know, I didn't really know what she was talking about. No, it's time, because we would giggle and laugh and act silly and fall out on the floor and just, you know, cut up and just, you know, we didn't do anything bad. We just were silly. And I remember her saying, no. She said, no, it's time to put away childish things. Time to put away childish things. And I got to understand that as I got older, because I realized that I started to see people that were much older than me acting like they were 12. They never put away childish things. And so I thought about, he said, when I spoke as a child, when you speak as a child, you speak from a position of fantasy. You don't understand reality,
right?
What you want and what you can see and what you can have, and you dream way bigger than what you can afford or what you can actually accomplish. And so, you know, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I said all kind of outlandish stuff, all kind of things that were fantasy driven and unharnessed thoughts that went through my mind. You know, kids don't have a filter. right? And then it says, and I understood as a child. I had no introspection. I wasn't able to really look at myself. I would just say what came to my mind. And then I didn't think about the consequences to my action. I just did what I wanted to do. So I spoke as a child. Then I understood as a child. And he said, but when I became a man or a woman, I began to put away some childish things. And the Bible goes into detail, and I won't get into it now, but some of those things are youthful lust. Some of those things are youthful lust. Some of the things are the lust of the eyes, with the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. It says, look, you need to understand and know, when you become a man or a woman, there's some stuff you got to put away. I can't say what I used to say.
Come on.
Right? I can't talk like I used to talk. I can't do the things that I used to do. When I became a man, when I became a woman, I put away childish things. But guess what? There's a spirit of arrested development, if y'all don't know. And what that is the enemy trying his best to keep you from growing forward. The enemy tries everything he can do to keep you from maturing in the things of God so that you can be a 60-year-old man and act like a 20-year-old. That's not cute, y'all. I travel around the country and I see oftentimes even pastors. I'm like, now you need to take your 60-year-old body and put it in 60-year-old clothes. You're trying to look 20 with a 60-year-old body. You're trying to look 20. It's not working. It's not working because you've passed that point. You passed that point. And so you got to put away childish things. Somehow you're thinking as a child. You even starting to speak as a child. But God said, look, you're a man now. Put away those childish things. You're a woman now. Put away those childish things. You know, it's crazy when you go into, you see, when you go into the grocery store, you go into, you know, a theater, you go wherever, and you look at people and I think to myself, I'm thinking like, okay, you know, I don't get it. I don't, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't get it. Like, you're 50, 60 years old and you watch a Cardi B video and you come out looking like Cardi B. I don't get it. Like, now you got to go and you got to, you know, buy the same shoes, go get the hair. You know, you got to, it's like, what happened to the childish things? I mean, I understand as a teenager, you didn't know who you were. You didn't know who God said you were. You were trying to find out who you are in this world. But now God has told you that you've been fearfully and wonderfully made, and he's shown you the things that he has for you, and he's spoken to you about your destiny and your future, and now you're reaching back into childish things. That's a barrier. Because he's saying, look, no, I have so much for you, so much that's further ahead, so much that's out in front, but you're reaching back to stuff that's like you past now. Now, that's not always 50 and 60-year-olds. It can be 20-year-olds.
Yes.
20-year-olds, 25-year-olds, where you're like, hey, wait a minute. I kind of want to just chill and do nothing. I just kind of want to, you know, like when you were 12 and your mom would cook dinner for you or cook lunch for you, you know, or maybe 10 or whatever. Now you're 20 and you're sitting there and you're waiting for people to cook. Hello, there's a kitchen and there's food in there. You know? But it's childish things. No, I'm going to sit and I'm just going to wait for it to happen. Wow. Like I tell my kids, okay, those dishes are not going to magically get done.
Come on.
Somebody's going to get in here and do these. It's not going to be like a dish fairy that's going to come in here and wash these dishes. Y'all have to wash the dishes, right? And so we have to determine, okay, you know what? I got to move that. Because see, the intellectual barrier says, I get what I want. I have what I want. I do what I want. I can have what I want. It makes me feel good. To reach back makes me feel good. Makes me feel young again. Makes me feel like I can accomplish again. No, actually, God is like, what are you doing? You're 70. What are you doing? In the spirit, you might be 70, you know, because you have all this maturity. But you know what? In the natural, you might be 50. You're more mature than that. You're further along than that. I brought you out of more than that. Don't go back to Egypt. Don't go back to Egypt. Don't go back to what you didn't know, when you didn't know, and how you used to look because you didn't have any sense. He said, no. I need, but that's a barrier. That arrested development wants to come and just settle right in. And it's a huge thing with celebrities. Huge thing with celebrities where, you know, they get into this situation where, you know, they're accomplished in whatever they're accomplished in, and then they determine that, for whatever reason, they're going to act like they're 5 or 10 or even 15, and they just determine that they're going to regress. God doesn't desire for us to regress. If we want breakthrough, we've got to remove and move that barrier of the intellectual barrier that we may have of believing that that we can literally regress and we can pull from the past and move forward with what we have from the past. I think that the intellectual barriers that we're dealing with now are bigger than ever before. Because of the media inputs that we have, And so we have to make sure in moving forward that we remember that we remove these barriers these ways. And I have to memorize it this way. I think PDFSO. You know how you have a PDF file that comes through? I think PDFSO. So I think about prayer, declaration, fasting. Then I think about sowing, and I think about obedience. Those are the ways. Prayer, declaration, fasting, sowing, and obedience. Those are the ways that we break through. That's how you're going to break through. How do you break through wanting that you just don't understand why you got to have that, green and rainbow hair? You know, I got to have rainbow, got to have that rainbow hair. Because it's just amazing, you know? Well, I'm heading towards 70 now. I don't think I'm going to have rainbow hair anymore. I think that's back in the past. Or I'm heading towards, or God's telling me that I need to go to law school now. So you know what? That's not probably going to work in law school, you know? I don't know. You know, so we have to really come to a place where we're like, okay, Lord, I'm going to remove these barriers. I'm going to move them once and all. I really want to receive the breakthrough that God has for me. And so because of that, I'm going to let God use my hand. I'm going to employ myself to do those things. And I'm saying them again, to do those things. What first of all is prayer, declaring the word of God, to fast, to sow, and to be obedient. That's how I'm going to move the barriers. We're fasting every Wednesday. Every Wednesday up until, this is the last Wednesday that we're fasting, this Wednesday. We're fasting, we're believing God for breakthrough. Those of you who have put your breakthrough stick in here, amen, we're continuing to pray over these. I'm hoping that you're praying over those breakthrough requests that came forward at the altar. And my prayer is that God breaks through every single area. But I've shown you, we're not done. We'll have a couple more that we'll go through next week. But I have to tell you that my prayer is that God allows and brings forth breakthrough in your lives. But you do those five things that are necessary. That's your hand. Your hand are those five things. Your hand is that prayer, that declaration, that fasting. Your hand is the sowing. Your hand is the obedience. That's how it is moved. That's how it's moved. That's how it's moved. So you're not going to be lazy. You're not going to be lazy. As soon as you feel that laziness, but now I'm not saying don't rest. Don't wear yourself out. I'm not saying don't rest. I rest, you know. But I'm saying the laziness, you know, where you can, you know, I always tell people you go in the bathroom and some paper on the floor, but you'd rather walk out than pick the paper up because you're not the one who put the paper on the floor. That's lazy. You know, you go into buy clothes and there's clothes all on the floor around the rack and you're like, dang, I don't feel like picking all these clothes up. I didn't put them there anyway, but you can't, I know me, I can't walk away. Even if I didn't make the mess, I can't walk away and leave it like that. So I got to pick the clothes up, put them on hangers, put them back on the rack because I'm not going to be lazy. See, if we allow ourselves and we allow that barrier of laziness to creep in, it'll follow us through in everything else. It'll follow us through in everything else. So yeah, I'm going into a bathroom and there's sprinkles on the seat. I'm going to wipe the seat off. Whether I lean over or not, I'm going to wipe the seat off because I'm not going to be lazy. Amen. I'm not going to just lean over and add to it. People do that, y'all. People do it. I mean, come on now. I'm like, hey, the Bible says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I don't want to like sprinkling on my stuff. Amen. So, right? So I really want you all to, I went from the toilet to the sticks, right? Wow. But I really want you all to take the time this week, really, to continue on Wednesday to pray, to fast, to believe God for yourself, but also for those who shared on the microphone, those are your friends, your family who are believing God for breakthrough. But don't forget, breakthrough comes through your hand. It comes through your hand. Comes through your hand, through your prayer, through your declaration, through your fasting, through your sowing, and through your obedience. I believe, God, that every single barrier can be moved. we can move them. The communication barrier, we can move the communication barrier. We can move the emotional barrier. We can move the relationship barrier issues that we have. We can remove the personality barriers that we have. And we'll finish those up next week. But I have to tell you that God is an amazing God, and I really want us to confess and really solidify what he is saying, what he has said concerning the breakthrough. And so I just want you to repeat this confession after me. Very simply, it's a confession that will focus us really on the barriers being removed in our lives. So let's just repeat after me, and then I'm going to share with you here. Here we are. I think I'm going to say it this way. Or maybe I'll save it. Maybe I'll save it. You know what, guys? I might save that for Minister Roy for next week. I'm going to save it for Minister Roy next week. But let me give you these nine things very, very quickly. And these 10 things are things, again, we got our five things. These are 10 things that you can think about as far as breakthrough is concerned. This week, these 10 things. Number one, I want you this week more than ever before to call on the name of Jesus. Just call on the name of Jesus. Just call on the name of Jesus. Number two, I want you to commit yourself this week, commit yourself to praying at least 20 minutes a day. That's a lot, right? Man, it's a lot. But it's not if you're in the car. By the time you get to where you're going, if you pray, that's 20 minutes. Commit to praying at least 20 minutes a day. I want you to commit, number three, to persistent prayer. Something you prayed about before, pray about it again. You may have prayed about it in the past, pray about it again. Persistent prayer. Number four, I know you're fasting, and so continue to keep that fast on Wednesday. Number five, I'm asking you that this week, allow God to stretch your faith. Allow him to stretch your faith. Allow him to stretch your faith. What do I mean by that? He's already shown you some things. He's already told you some things. Allow him to stretch your faith by you saying, okay, Lord, not only do I believe you and take you at your word, but from this day forward, I'm going to do what is necessary according to your word so that you can bring the past which you promised me. You exercise that faith at a greater level. Number six, I want you to just align yourself even more with God's will. Lord, if there's anything I've done, Lord God, that's not in line with your will, I ask that you would align me. Ask for greater alignment with his will. Greater alignment with his will. Number seven, I want you to ask him, you don't want the test, but you say, Lord, show me how to be more patient in this situation. Lord, show me how to be more patient in this situation. How to be more patient. Number eight, Lord God, I believe that I've forgiven, but show me how to forgive in this situation. Show me how to forgive in this situation. Number nine, repent. This week, say, Lord, okay, I told you all, I believe in repentance. God honors repentance. He really does. He honors repentance. And so what do you need to repent for? What can you repent for? Can you repent for being lazy? Can you repent for, you know, saying, hey, you know what? I've got some youthful lust I'm dealing with. I've got some pride of the flesh and pride of life I'm dealing with. What can you repent for? Number 10, last thing I want you to do is I want you to stand still and watch God work. Amen. Stand still and watch God work. You've done all that, then just stand still. Just watch him work. Watch him move. Watch him function. Watch him flourish in your life. Watch him work. Those 10 things I want you to do this week. Amen. Those 10 things I want you to do this week. Let's stand to our feet. Those of you who would like a stick at the end of service, make sure that you just go to the back. I'm sure that they have sticks back there. We'll make sure we get one for you. Amen. Again, you will write on it what you're believing God to break through for emotionally, whether it's fear, whether it's worry, whatever it is. And then also the physical thing you're believing God for breakthrough for, break it, put it on the altar, pray over it, take the other home and make sure you pray over that. We believe in God and faith with you for breakthrough in that area. Amen. Well, while everybody's eyes are closed and everybody's head is bowed, I'm going to ask you the question. Those of you who are here today, if you've not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you desire to receive him, now is the best time. The Bible says that not to harden your heart when you hear the voice of the Lord speaking to you. And so I'm going to ask you today, those of you who have not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you know, there are barriers in our lives that, you know, we're talking about how we can move them and how they can be moved and how they can be removed from our lives, but it can't happen unless you have the power of God functioning in your life. And so I'm going to ask those of you who have not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or you desire to, or those of you who want to rededicate your life, recommit, reconnect, get closer to Him, give you that opportunity this morning, actually right now. So right now, again, while believers are praying, everybody's eyes are closed, head is bowed. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I'm just going to ask that you raise your hand. You want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or you want to rededicate your life to the Lord. If you raise your hand so we can recognize it, and then we're going to all pray a prayer of salvation and rededication together. Amen. I see your hand. You can put your hand down once it's raised. Amen. Amen. I see your hand in the back. Amen. I see your hand in the back, and you can put your hand down too. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Let's pray. Amen. God is good. God is good. Amen. Amen. Well, I tell you, those of you who raised your hand, you made the best decision you could have ever made in your entire life. God is wanting to do great and mighty things in your life, and now He can because you decided to receive Him as your Lord and Savior. So let's just pray this prayer together. Amen. Let's just pray. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your Son, Jesus, who died on the cross for my sins. I thank you, Lord, for raising him up in power so that I can live the abundant life. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and my Savior. From this day forward, I belong to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Give God a great big hand clap for praise. For those of you who prayed that prayer, we thank God and praise God for you today. And I know that this is the first day of the best day for the rest of your life because of the decision that you made. And so we want to continue to pray for you, and I want to make sure that you stay connected. Amen. Getting the word, receiving the word, because it's the only thing that will feed you. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. Amen.